Greetings and salutations, my lovely loonies. It is wonderful to be here with you again. Today, I have our wonderful co-host of Davis. He is the host of Crossroads of Inspiration. I hope I did get that right because I have been practicing very hard. And I was on his podcast recently and we decided to go ahead and move up over here.
Yes, you got the right language for the English of the... Now I can't brain. You got the name right, and yes, the Crossroads of Inspiration, where the ideas that inspire us meet the actions that are taken to create.
There you go. And of course, his information will be down below, so you can go ahead and follow him, listen to his podcast. The one we did was Vampires Playing with the Food, and that one was exceptional. I still love it.
Yeah, great stories. And love the banter that we had.
Oh, most definitely.
That is probably going to be coming out, I'm going to say, probably March or April, depending upon how long it takes to get all the different recordings done and ready to go.
All right, sounds good. So you guys heard that.
So thank you for having me on here. Where we're going to just be dealing with so much insanity that even Einstein couldn't keep his mind around it.
Yeah, and as the episode says, this is quantum fuckery. We are, and yes, you can't swear on this podcast, don't worry.
Well, fuck.
So blatant. But yeah, this is the quantum fuckery episode where we will be discussing a couple of different topics of quantum physics and going a little bit more in depth. And I don't know much about it, but Davis does. And I'm just going to be here to hopefully put it in layman's terms so those who have the stupids can understand.
Basically, it is something that was so complicated, Einstein couldn't grasp it. Because his whole thing was everything is so simple, you can put an image to it. And once you have the image to it, then everything falls into place.
Which is true.
That is one of the things I found most fascinating about Einstein. And people are still winning Nobel Peace Prizes and other scientific awards for concepts that he put forth because of his, like, because of that philosophy that everything is so simple that it can be done with a picture. And yeah. So where would you like to begin?
Let's see. Well, one of the topics that really intrigued me was the, dang, I forgot the name of it that quickly. Let me refine what I just looked up because apparently my brain does not want to function today. And I created a whole YouTube playlist for all this stuff. So if you guys want to go a little bit more in depth, I have about 3 or 4 different videos on the same topic.
it's mind-blowing, but it is so fascinating. And I'm by no means an expert. I just found a bunch of the stuff fascinating and then through some of the thought process while listening to Einstein's biography and listening to a bunch of different things on quantum physics, I actually got an image in my mind.
All right, and I guess the one place I would like to start off is the original split experiment or slit experiment
with the two slits. Slit wave particle experiment.
Yes.
Yes, that is one of the most fascinating experiments. And what it is, as far as I know, is you have a laser and they were trying to figure out whether or not the light is a wave or a particle. So they shot the laser and they had a reading device over by one slot or one slit. And then they had the the location where the laser was hitting. Mm-hmm. And so they read the laser as it was going through the slit and it read it. And then you see on the destination a single line of where the particle could basically go, the probability. Mm-hmm. And they did this like 100 times and marked out each of the different locations that the laser hit on the other side, where the laser particle hit. When they removed the observer on this side of the slit and they shot the laser through, instead of making one line, it actually made two lines on either side of where the original line was. And when they were looking at that, they were like, wait a second, how is this acting like a wave and interfering with itself? Because that's the only way that they could figure out why it did not go through and make one line, is because the light was somehow interfering with itself.
And
go ahead.
Sorry, I think another way that they showed it and explained it were two little balloons tapping simultaneously in the water and showing how the ripple effect of the waves would intertwine with one another the more that they spread out, the more that it continued to happen. And just showing how like the waves do sort of link together and how it is more of like a wave when it does come to the light instead of just particles as everyone expected. I hope I got that right.
Yeah, like I said, the results are just so counterintuitive if you're this was a subject that Einstein could not grasp his mind around because it didn't make sense to him. He couldn't get the image in his mind explaining how all this worked, how all this lined up the way it needed to. And that there was a huge debate between Heisenberg and Einstein on this whole concept. And
Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, right?
Yes. And Einstein was so mad. Like, if memory serves correctly about the biography, like he was so mad, he just like stormed off stage and left because he was mad because his understanding was not working. And again, it was because he couldn't get an image in his mind explaining it. And like one of the things, like his general theory of relativity, his E equals MC squared equation, he came up with that after getting the image in his mind of the woman or the person chasing a light wave in space. And that's how he was able to come up with the concept of general relativity and how the more mass you have, the more energy it requires to reach the speed limit of space-time, which is the speed of light. And one of the interesting things on it is when you were explaining the wave particles, you actually hit a little bit on the image that caught into my mind when I was telling you about all this, how my image was of quantum physics and actually figuring out what gravity is, not just what it does, but what it is related to water, related to figuring that out. And I'll go into that a little bit later. But yes, like, It is such a fascinating subject, and it's mind blowing unless you actually get the right image in your mind, I guess. Because having an image, having a thought that is shaped by an image, is so useful for understanding something. Like one of the things I found when teaching is, you can really help when you can give someone a image of what they want, of like what they're trying to focus on. And then of course you have them do whatever it is so they get the experience doing it. But if you can help them get the image in their mind, then they'll be able to do it a lot easier because they've got that whole image and it lets their mind grasp it better. Because we're very visual creatures, like 98% of our senses, like most of what we get from around us is visual.
That is, I can 100% agree with that. Just by looking at something, I can already anticipate what it's going to smell like or what it's going to taste like. I can see something and just about know how it's going to feel before I even touch it. So makes perfect sense.
All right. So I'm going to get into real quick. I asked you this the other day, and what was your answer when I asked you, what is gravity?
I'm not sure. I think we were just, I think I kept pulling back and forth trying to figure out what I actually thought gravity was. Because the more I thought about it, the more I just realized I didn't know.
Yeah. And what is the definition of gravity? And give me 1 second. Gravity defined is the force that attracts a body towards the center of the earth or towards any other physical body having mass. And if you think about it, that does not explain what it is. It just explains what it does. That's just a force is what they say. And that actually was a thought that crossed my mind when I was listening. As I said, I was listening to Einstein's biography and doing a lot of research into quantum physics when I was younger. And it was raining when this was happening. And I basically saw a little puddle. And then I saw an insect get on that puddle. One of those like water bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And when the bug got on the puddle, it then moved and I saw the ripple. And then it stayed still. When it was staying still, there was no ripple, but I noticed that the bug was just a little bit further into the water than when it was moving. And that caused my mind to kind of link that image to quantum physics. Because the whole wave particle experiment and how you explained it with the balloons, how they use those to create the waves to interfere with each other. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, if you think about it like that right there, where if something is staying still, it's not creating a wave, but if it moves, it's creating a wave, but that only happens when it is actually on the surface of the water, then that linked me up to the wave particle experiment where okay, light waves or light proton packets is what they're called, if memory serves correct. Been a while. If proton packets are on the basically surface of space-time, they're light enough matter that they're just right on the surface, then when we're looking at them, we're pulling them into space-time, meaning they cannot have a wave function because you're actually holding them here. But by holding them, you're changing their speed. You're changing a lot of different properties of them. And then you release them, they go back up to the surface. And as they're moving, we don't know where they are exactly because they're right on the surface. And so all we're getting is the wave function. And expanding from there, that image then, that would mean that matter had to be foreign to space-time. Kind of like if you throw a rock or something into water, it'll sink until it gets to its buoyancy location. Once it reaches its buoyancy, then you just have the pressure of the water on the object, holding it however deep that it is. And so that got me thinking, if matter is like that, and space-time is like an ocean, then that would explain what gravity is in the most simple terms. Gravity would be the pressure of space-time upon matter. And you can even take a look at some of the explanations of gravity where they show a massive object, and this is where they're showing off Einstein stuff. They show a massive object, and they show space-time curving around that object. Well, that curve is not just in a two-dimensional plane, even though that's what we see. that curve is completely around it. And if it's completely around it, then that, again, it's there's pressure against the matter because space-time is being warped by the matter inside it.
Okay.
And so, well, like I said, that's what I kind of came up with as a simple image. Just, again, an insect on water, except the water is space-time.
Sorry, I don't quite know what to say to that because that is quite a bit to digest. But I can see where you get like the image of gravity and what gravity actually is. I wish I could say that I understand 100%, but it would take me understanding and getting into quantum physics probably a little bit more like you to fully understand and grasp what is actually being said to me at the moment. Which is why I do have the videos, which if you guys do want to look them up and read into what's going on, they explain it in very much so layman's terms, and you will be able to understand. Because that's how I was able to even understand even 30% of what this man just said. But it does help, and I feel like this is something that everyone should probably try to grasp and understand, because it's sort of how we function and go through life a little bit, and just explaining and exploring something a little bit new never hurt anybody.
Oh yeah, no. Exploring and finding out new information, that expands the mind and the things that we can think of. And it's amazing just seeing different ideas and different thoughts that people have. Some of them, like, I do think that my theory of gravity is kind of interesting and a really good continuation of Einsteinian physics. But I don't know for certain that it is. I've not been able to come up with a good way to test against it or to test for it. And that's some of the stuff that I'm kind of thinking on right now, is how to actually prove or disprove it. And technically, if I'm going to be doing this right, I need to do what I can to disprove it before I try to prove it. Because if it can be disproven like this, then that means I may be off. But it is still a wonderful thought experiment just to examine these ideas, to examine possibility. Because that's something that the human mind desires. The human mind is curious. The human mind is wanting new information, wanting to get more so that it can come up with new ideas. And that's what I do.
And that is pretty amazing, in my opinion, because I wish there were more people out there that just like literally thought the way that you did to help like expand their mind and choose and do what you do. Because like, there are, I won't say a lot of closed-minded people, but there are enough people within the world that are just comfortable with where they are, that they don't challenge themselves enough to want to be able to move and actually question or disprove anything. Because anything in life is literally just proving that it doesn't work before proving that it does work. Because say like the ice cube method of whether hot water or cold water works better. You don't know, but you will literally sit there and try to figure it out. And figure out which one is actually wrong and which one is actually true.
Mm-hmm.
And small stuff like that.
I can honestly say that you have a lot of people that are just not inspired. They don't have They haven't gotten the right motivation to get what they want out of life. And a lot of people, because they don't get that, just become stationary, become stagnant, and they just let life pass them by. And it's kind of sad if you think about it, because there's so many people that have so many possible advantages that they could create with life, that they could, like, every, like, as I say in my podcast, everything that you see started as an idea that someone had in their mind, and they took that idea and they took the actions required to make it. It wasn't easy all the time. There was hardship. There was things that they'd have to do, they'd have to struggle against, and some of them failed and had to start back over, try something else. But everything started as an idea that someone took and said, I want this to be reality. And then they took and made it reality. And I mean, like I said, that's one of the things on my podcast is I want to inspire people to create something for themselves, to write, to draw, to sculpt, to weld, to do something that makes them feel good, that makes them actually expand their own creative mind. Because everyone has the creation, maybe not to the same level, but everyone does have that spark of creativity, that thing that they can use to do something and make themselves feel good, make themselves feel, I mean, they don't even have to share it with someone else. They just do it for themselves, do it for making yourself, pushing yourself just a little bit further into something. And who knows, you may find something that you really like, something that inspires you, something that brings you passion, joy, happiness. And that's something we need more in this world, is joy, happiness, passion, desire, all that.
Oh, most definitely can agree. And that's sort of why I created my podcast as well, to create niches, to create new ways of thinking, to help people understand that mental health is important and that you have to care about your own self before you can care about other things in the world. And caring about yourself means that once you care about the things in the world, you care about what you can do with those things in the world and how you can create something new and be a part of something just a little bit bigger than yourself. Because everyone feels a little small and insignificant, but they always feel bigger as soon as they become
Excuse
a part of
me. I've got all the best qualities of a narcissist. Of course, nothing can be bigger than me.
I'm sorry. Those who have the positive qualities of a narcissist don't feel small, but for those of us who are on the regular realm of things, do need a little bit of a boost.
Laughter is contagious.
And it's the best thing you can have in this world, I swear. Make just a little bit of laughter brightens your mood.
Well, you did say that we can swear in this podcast, so.
Yes.
I swear.
Oh, okay. You got me on that one. That is a good. But so we can actually grab back some listeners, because I'm quite sure a little bit of them got a little bored with our motivational speaking and talking of quantums. We are both huge book lovers. We create our own books. We also deeply, deeply enjoy anything to do with zombies.
Oh, yes. Oh, did you get a chance to check out Train to Busan or All of Us Are Dead?
Sadly, I have not. Like I say, I have a screaming child. So literally while I was trying to watch the YouTube videos to learn a little bit more about this, over to my left, I have nothing but my child screaming in my ear.
I see. Well, yeah, so obviously the best thing to do with a screaming child is to sit him down in front of a zombie movie. All that blood and gore, that's not going to traumatize them at all.
He's 2, so I don't think he's old enough to understand what traumatizing is. Ah. Yeah, like, he's still little. That's why when I say screaming, I literally just mean he's like, ah, in your ear. And for those of you who have been on the podcast long enough, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because my little one, every now and again, will interject himself into what we're saying. But his father has him, and they are out and about at the moment, so I'm free, and it is a nice silent background.
Okay, so he screams, ah, in your ear.
Yes.
Are you eager for him to learn how to scream, ah, or in your ear, maybe even Z. It'll eventually get all the alphabet.
I'm more eager for him to finally scream his first word than anything else.
Okay. And what's the word you want him to scream? Quantum?
You know what? Because it's me and how many times I stub my toe, I expect his first word to be fuck.
Well,
Either that or damn it. Because I can't help... He lays his toys everywhere. So in the middle of the night, the only thing I'm stepping on are like little puzzle pieces, little round puzzle pieces that feel like evil flat Legos or actual Legos, or a light up toy that screams in the middle of the night and scares me. So it's either damn it or fuck.
That reminds me of a joke. This guy is standing there with his wife and he's like, okay, so listen. They were playing cowboy and Indian, and one of them said, yippee-ki-yay. It's not my fault that I finished that.
So yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker?
Yep. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
That is hilarious.
So what have you been up to?
Me, myself, I have been working quite diligently on my webcomic. Oh, that actually brought me up to another question, because I know you are writing your own books and short stories. I was wondering if you would like to be an actual author inside my comic to where your books are real life in there.
Sure. I always love having like connecting stories and stuff like that. I have a couple universes that I've been writing like little bits on. My Leash universe, which I told you a little bit about, my Crystalist universe. And while the two universes can't actually coexist, I decided, okay, well, you know what? I've got in one of the like short stories that I wrote for my Leash universe, I actually included a little snippet of the title that I'm planning on going for that book series that I call The Crystalist. And so I figured I'd have the little short story mentioned something about The Crystalist series so that I link my own stories together with just little Easter eggs. Because, I mean, that's something that you can do with stories and is, like, actually have them connected, especially short stories. You can actually take and kind of have the story here and then have callbacks to other things that you've worked on or other things that catch your interest. So it's like if you want a really good example of like Easter eggs all over, take a look at Ready Player One, the book series, because they've got all these 80s throwbacks to like all different sorts of things. And then of course the whole premise of the book is a contest done by a millionaire to give his share of a company after he died to the person that finishes his game and solves all these clues to get keys and go through gates and all this stuff. And really, really good on things. Now, really good with the way that he incorporated like the different 80s references. The like you have one part where they deal with Pac-Man. You've got another part where they deal with Joust. You have a thing where they deal with, of course, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That movie.
I love it.
And just so many different aspects that they cover in all these different chapters where they link the 80s references to the story and everything, because the story is very much about the game developer having a passion for the 80s and wanting everyone to share in his passion and his dream. And so the virtual reality, the whole search for the Halliday's egg is all about looking at these 80s references, examining them, and kind of going back and enjoying the past. And there is so much that you can enjoy from the past. There's so much that you can find from the past. And then, of course, you've got Pong.
Which, the ever popular Pong.
The original video game. And it's basically a digital table tennis game. And it's fun, but it's definitely dated. Just like me.
Oh no, don't worry, you're timeless. I mean, you're a narcissist. Oh, no, I have to expect you're timeless.
No, see, I drank from the fountain of youth.
So you're what, like 355 years old, but you just look like you're 20?
Actually, I'm as old as dirt. I'm serious. I really am.
No one knows how old dirt is.
Oh, no. I know exactly how old the dirt is. The dirt that I'm as old as is 38 years old. But see, it was created 38 years ago. Because we constantly have new dirt being created through volcanoes and through the destruction of rocks and stuff. So, yeah.
See, that is just a smart-ass way of saying I'm 38 years old.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
I'm going to have to use that one, though. It's like, how old are you? Old as dirt. Wait, what?
See, I was around when the Dead Sea got sick, and it wouldn't have gotten sick if I hadn't gone swimming. I'm a dirty white boy.
Oh, and I am an amused black girl at the moment. Okay, let's see. Well, I guess we are at a standstill for conversation at this point.
No, I've still got more stuff to talk about zombies and how they brain. Have you heard of the... Oh, yes, they love brains. Well, actually, any flesh, because it's tasty. Have you heard of the book series Adrian's Undead Diary by Chris Philbrooks?
You did tell me about this one. I finally got my check, so I'm about to purchase them so I can start reading them.
Oh, yeah. No, they are absolutely amazing. And I also, I'm actually going to be having him on my podcast. And I'm very, very excited about that because I absolutely love his writing style. I love the stories that he's created. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he actually creates for the prompt Horse Chase.
Hmm. Ooh, that sounds like a fun one. Next one we have like a sentient kinky erotic toy or something like that?
Yes, a sentient kinky weapon is okay. The one. And like my story on that is fully done. So as soon as you're ready with yours, we can get that recorded.
I have too many ideas, so I don't know where to start. So just give me like another week or so and I promise I will have it.
No worries. Like I said, and you can do multiple kinky weapons.
Ooh, that...
Like, you can have, like, this guy that's got multiple kinky weapons, and then he's dealing with him. He's like, shut up. Wait, what? What? Why are you talking? No, I don't want to do that. What? And just having arguments with him.
Okay, this opens up so many ideas that I can do now. Yes, I love it. Okay. Everybody's over here like, what kinky weapon? What the frick are they talking about? You'll have to listen to the episode to find out.
Oh, yes. You'll have to check us out on crossroadsofinspiration.com.
Yes. Go to his website and he'll have updates for that. And I have to create a website so that way people can come to mine.
Hey, those aren't too rough to actually get together. I'm actually working on editing mine and getting a couple things updated because I want to have the guest hosts for season two get all their descriptions, get all their biographies that they want up there, put on there, make sure I've got everything set up because I want it to be ready to go for when season two comes out and have everyone be able to say, oh, look, I actually listened to their story. I really liked it. Or that person, wow, their story was amazing. Of course, I don't think I've had any bad stories on my podcast, thankfully, knock on wood. And I really don't think I will because of just the creativity and the things that people can make when they're inspired.
Yeah, because like me, I was looking through the laundry list of like prompts and everything you had. And the main one that did pop out to me was just vampires playing with food. I'm like, ooh, that sounds cool. And then as soon as you told me about the kinky sentient, the sentient kinky weapon, I always want to call it a toy because my mind is dirty.
Oh, we're just going to have to go ahead and wash your mind, maybe do a little brainwashing.
Oh, I've tried that. It doesn't work. It reverts right back. Brainwashing doesn't work on me.
Well, you're not doing the right brainwashing.
Do I have to use Lysol? Do I need to get bleach? Like, what am I not using correctly?
Trigger words.
You would think those would work for me, but they work in the opposite direction. Instead of them being trigger words to affect my thinking, they immediately affect my mood and I'm just angry for the rest of the day. And then people have to deal with that. So they stop trying to brainwash because they just realize, oh, she's just going to become hostile.
That reminds me of a video that I saw. I think it was like on a TikTok or a Facebook video thing where this guy is, he was in the store with his daughter and she was starting to be kind of a little bit of a brat. And so he pulled out his most deep dad voice and said her name, get over here. And then he turned back and saw the cashier, hands behind her back, head lowered, and he looks at her, and she kind of says, is your name? And she nodded, pointing at her name tag, which was the exact same as his daughter. And so he basically outed her without meaning to at her work.
I think I've heard this story. Oh my God. And I felt so bad for that person because it's just like you try to keep your sexual life a little secret and to make sure that you can be taken seriously. But then shit like that happens and then you're just stuck at square one. Because, like, how do you get back from that? Your boss now knows he can just use a daddy voice to make you actually do your job. It's like, you were never safe there again.
Then you also had another one where the mom was, like, so mad at the daughter because the daughter was, like, so honest about everything. And she's like, how do you think your work would feel about you being submissive? And she's like, they'd be happy because they know that I'll do what they tell me to.
She's not wrong.
I know.
Oh, I love blunt people. I love them so much. They are the bread and butter of the world. Just hearing the honesty come from their mouth will either hurt your feelings or make you laugh your ass off. That's why I love kids. Kids are the most blunt people in the world.
Oh, that reminds me of I've got all these stories from like just my life. But when I was younger, my mom and my dad were out and I was home alone. And my mom had told me, never tell anybody you're home alone because we don't want anybody to know that. And so my mom called, but she hid her voice, like kind of talked different to try and hide that she was the one calling me to try and find out what I would say if I was asked. And she's like, are you home alone? Can I speak with your parents? And I'm like, can I speak with your mom? I'm like, oh, my mom's in the shower. And she's like, oh, okay. Well, can I speak with your dad? Oh, my dad's in the shower. And they're like in there together. I'm like, yes.
I mean, mommy, daddy, fun time.
Yeah. I mean, taking showers together is nice, but that's just like child honesty. Even though that wasn't necessarily honest, I was doing what I was told, but still funny.
Yeah, because then she's just like, why can't he lie?
Exactly. I'm not good at lying. I can create the truth, but I can't lie.
I can create the truth, but I can't lie. See, I think that's why I started writing books, because I suck at lying, but I can create the biggest tale known to man. Like, I can write it down and have it be the best thing known to man, and it be the best fiction ever. And I know it's great because I know it's fiction. If I tried to write it as if it were truth, it would come out like the biggest load of bullshit anyone has ever heard on the face of the planet.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I really love about writing is like exploring the characters, exploring the settings, exploring all of that. And like, for a long time, I always had issues with doing what so many amateur writers do, and that is making Mary Sue characters or Gary Stu characters, where you don't want them to be bad at stuff because it's kind of a representation on stuff. And then that actually takes away so much from the story, so much potential. And then you end up having to, like, it doesn't feel right because the story doesn't draw you in because this person is unbelievable. You can't believe that is reality, because we all have our flaws. We all have our shortcomings. We all have our strengths. And it is how the strengths and the flaws and all that stuff interacts. Like someone once said that a good story is told based off of a person that is not good at something managing to do it versus someone that is absolutely amazing doing something that they're good at. Train to Busan. I'll use that as an example. The main character in that is not like a survivalist. He doesn't have gun training. He doesn't have weapon training. He's basically a hedge fund manager. And yet you root for him through the course of the story because he cannot do that stuff and he has to figure it out as he goes. And then you take a look at World War Z and the movie World War Z, not the book. The book was amazing. The movie was a good zombie movie, but not a good adaptation, if that makes sense.
Oh, makes perfect sense.
Because it really is a good zombie movie, but it is not World War Z. But the main character in that has weapons training, knows all this stuff, is he isn't a scientist, but he knows a bunch of things about the science. And like one of the first scenes in the movie, he sees someone bit and then he sees them turn. Then he sees another person bit and he counts to figure out how long it takes for them to turn. And then he starts putting all these different things together and you see him do all this amazing stuff. That's like, wait, wow. Wow. How could he? Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just how is he figuring all of this out?
Right.
Instead of somebody who would see somebody get bit and immediately start freaking out, start running away, not even trying to figure out how long it takes, just immediately trying to get away as quickly as possible. So, yeah, it just shows that right there.
Yeah. And like I said, it's because of the different mindset, because we've got in America, fuck yeah. We've got this gun culture where everything is guns. And so like zombies, oh, well, we've got the perfect solution, guns, boom, boom, boom. Versus like some of the other things where it's like in Europe, guns aren't as easy to come by, so they're not going to be there. In Asian countries, guns aren't as easy to come by, so you're not going to have that. And there's so many different aspects where you can do different things and focus on different things to actually create the tension, create the setting. I honestly, like, looking back, I was watching a review of Train to Busan the other day, and that movie really is almost the perfect zombie movie. I mean, there's of course some issues, because every movie has issues, everything like that has like things that are wrong or things that are like cliche, but ultimately it really is like, it covers all the things that like the original Night of the Living Dead did. You have the social commentary, you've got the way the main character actually grows through the movie, you have the actual zombies and how they interact with the world. And it's just like all of it together just really works. And I'm, like I said, I cannot recommend that movie enough. An only issue is you can find the subtitled version for free on Amazon, but if you want to have the dubbed version, you're going to have to pay a little bit of money to rent it.
Yeah, you have to go to either YouTube or Google Play Movies TV or Apple TV and pay $3.99.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just looked it up because I was curious about all the places that I could find it. And this is how I know that my computer is listening to me, because all I had to do was type in train and then To Busan topped up. I didn't even have to type in the entire thing. This is how I know Google listens. And Google, since I know you're listening, stop listening. I like my private times to be private, okay? But back to a serious note. I don't know how I can become serious after saying something like that, but okay. But we will have to wrap it up here. My son is coming back because he's getting a little fussy with the father.
Okay.
So, sadly, we have to put this to a close, but it has been absolutely wonderful to have you on. Oh, sounds like your little ones are getting fussy as well.
Yeah, my friend's kids are over here. They've been pretty quiet and relaxed, so I guess it is time to close it up.
Yeah, it's nap time.
You make sure
to
have a wonderful day, and it has been a blast spending time talking to you, harassing you, just doing what I do, doing what you do.
Yes, so. It has been wonderful as always, and we will have to do this again. Well, we will be doing this as soon as I finish my prompt, so there we go.
Yeah, we'll be doing this, we'll be doing that, and then we'll do this again on another subject, whatever we find that's interesting.
We could do it as a review for Train to Busan, or like a couple of zombie movies or stuff, something like that.
Okay, definitely check out Train to Busan, All of Us Are Dead, and The Kingdom. Those are three absolutely amazing zombie movies from Korea, with Kingdom being a medieval style zombie movie set in Korea. All of Us Are Dead is a zombie, or Kingdom is a series. Same thing with All of Us Are Dead. All of Us Are Dead is a zombie series set basically in a school, and really absolutely love all three of those.
And I will have all three links in the description as well. So if you guys do want to check those out, the Google links will be there. So that way it'll make it easy for you. Sadly, if you're in Russia, we won't be able to help you. I know, well, touchy topic.
Hey, that's the thing. They will be able to find it in the future, because I don't think that this is going to last forever.
I really hope it doesn't, and that we can make peace soon. I really do.
Oh, yeah. It's the, what's the word? The hysteria for it. It's like the government of Russia is led by Vladimir Putin, and this is his war. It isn't his people's war. If you were actually paying attention, the people are not happy with this.
The people
and
are yet clueless.
We are punishing the people with a bunch of the things that we're doing. And it's unfortunate. Some of it has to happen to try and stop it. But it's like, we have people taking and like removing Russian cats from cat shows because they're Russian. How does that stop anything? It doesn't. It's just hysteria and othering people and making other people out to be the bad guy when they're not necessarily the bad guy.
Yeah.
Same thing with like China. The government for China, I do not like. I think they're a really bad government. The people, just fine. And it's like, that's the distinction that so many people lose.
Oh, yeah. And what's sad right now is that the Russian population, a good chunk of them don't even know that the bombings are happening over in the Ukraine. There are people from Russia in the Ukraine that are messaging and texting, calling their families and saying, hey, we're being bombed. And none of them believe them. Because it's not on any other social media. It's not any other news. Nowhere. So it's just, it's a horrible thing going on right now.
It's the fog of war and propaganda from both sides being used to try and shift the public opinion of each different culture.
Yeah.
And it's ultimately, it's a lose-lose situation for everybody. And that is so sad.
But
I really don't like that, but I can't do anything to stop it.
The only thing you can say is do your best to support the right side. Use your mind and know that hysteria won't last forever and that things will semi go back to normal shortly.
Ultimately,
keep your heart and your minds out to those in the Ukraine and hope that Vladimir Putin gets his mind straight and ends this war.
Yeah, and hopefully as few people are hurt, injured, and killed as possible. That's my big thing. I don't want people hurt or injured. And on that somber note, I guess we'll call it a night.
Yes, we will. And for all my lovely loonies, don't forget to stay healthy, stay safe, stay lovely, and stay loony. I love you guys, and I'll see you next episode.